such a blessing to be with all of you and to see a lot of you face to face, to greet you. If you are new here this morning, I want to welcome you. So thankful that you are here. If you are tuning in online, good morning and welcome. Pray that God blesses all of us who are in ear's reach. I wanted to start by asking, could you or do you identify with this? And by you, I mean before Christ, before you knew Jesus, could you identify with saying that your life felt out of alignment? How to explain it? I don't know. Maybe just something was missing. Something was off. If straight was right, then and bent was wrong, something was wrong. But then Jesus came into your life and you surrendered to the Lord, and he was gracious to you and he straightened you up, and your life has been straight and just continuing in alignment ever since. This is right, and this is getting everything else straight. Well, today we are going to meet a woman who she was out of alignment, and the Lord entered into her story and made her straight. So why don't we turn in our Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. And I'm going to be sharing a message that I've titled Made Straight, the Power and the Progress of the Kingdom. And that's what the kingdom does. The kingdom of Christ comes to make those who trust him straight, if you would. So we'll read the text, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message. I'm picking up in verse 10, Luke's Gospel 13. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall to lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then he said, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to which shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened." Let's pause and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and it's just so wonderful. And we're so blessed by the testimony of the power of the kingdom. Jesus, we are just inspired and moved by your mercy and how you can take someone who you could say literally her life was bent, and you can straighten people up, align them. We thank you, God, because you want to do that work in our lives. Anything that's out of alignment, anything that needs straightening, Jesus, you want to come and help us. And so, God, we, knowing that you have the power, only you can bring fulfillment to a void. Only you can bring straightness to what's bent. Only you can bring healing, freedom, deliverance. Everything else is just temporary, but you can bring that lasting deliverance. We look to you, God. We look to you. We cry out to you. God, you see your people, and you are the chief shepherd of your people. I pray that you would meet every need, and that our hearts would be filled with faith, believing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, made straight, the power and the progress of the kingdom. You know, Jesus, he came preaching, preaching the kingdom. And in this text, I want to share with you that there were several ways in which the power of the kingdom was displayed. If you're a note taker, you can write this down. The first is truth. The power of the kingdom is displayed in truth. The second is presence. The power of the kingdom is displayed with the presence of Christ. The third thing, that the power of the kingdom, it is displayed in grace. In grace. The fourth thing, the power of the kingdom is displayed in freedom. Freedom. The fifth thing, the power of the display, or the power of the kingdom was displayed in here, in healing, in healing. And then the sixth thing, the power of the kingdom was displayed in revealing, revealing. Now I had 21 more, but I thought we should just stay with that. So here we see the power of the kingdom being displayed in truth, in truth. In verse 1, it tells us, now he was teaching in one of the Sabbaths, in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And what Jesus did was he always brought the truth of the kingdom. And the truth is what helps us. I mean, before Christ, we were searching for meaning, for purpose, for truth. And then truth came into our lives. Gospel truth, kingdom truth. And all of the things that had us either burdened or had us bent or crooked, the truth came and straightened us out. Now, because of the truth, we know our origin, we know our purpose, we know where we're going, because the kingdom truth is what brings that alignment into our lives. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was bringing truth into the service. And The next thing is how present Jesus was in the service. I find it wonderful that our Savior sets such a good example for us. Jesus, he was present in the service. That was his custom. It was his custom. He went to service regularly. And, you know, whether we realize it or not, this is not just some people, and when I hear this in my heart, I get a little bothered, but I got to pray, God help me not to say anything rude. But when people say something like, oh, I'm going to Dave's church, that gets me so angry, because this is not my church. Jesus says that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is the Lord's church. And sometimes people and we and come and think of the church as something other than what it really is. But this is the Lord's. And you know where the Lord is? He's present in service. In the spirit, I don't see him physically, but I, by faith, believe he is present with us. And he is speaking to us. He's present through his word, and he's ministering to our hearts. How many of you in a church service were so ministered to by Jesus that it's changed your life? That's happened to me over and over and over again. And that's why the scripture says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves with one another. It's so important to be gathered and to worship the Lord and to hear his word. Matter of fact, it tells us earlier in Luke's gospel that it was Jesus's custom to be in the service of the synagogue. That was his regular custom. And it was weekly, setting a good example for you and for me. So Jesus, he's sharing truth about the kingdom. He's present in the service. And now he extends grace. And that's what I love about the kingdom, the power of grace. And he sees this woman. And it tells us in verse 11, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no ways raise herself. And so here's the grace, the power of the kingdom. Here it tells us Jesus saw her. Jesus called her. Jesus spoke to her, and Jesus laid his hands on her. He touched her in the most purest and healing and profound way. Jesus ministered to her grace. Grace is kindness. Grace is favor. You know, she could in no way do for herself. When it came to her situation, apart from Christ, it was hopeless. But Christ did for her out of grace. He just initiated. And that's how grace is. Grace initiates. And God is always initiating and reaching out. And here, Jesus, he initiates. And he demonstrates and displays grace to this woman. Now, you know, sometimes we come into a service and we feel overlooked. Sometimes we come into a service and, you know, we feel insignificant or small. But to Jesus, you're never overlooked. And there's been times when I've come into a service feeling out of alignment, even like I don't belong. It's like, oh, you don't belong here. All these people are good. You're not like them. You're horrible. And then Jesus, during worship, or during an interaction with someone, or during the service as the teaching is going, Jesus, he notices me. He calls me. He sees me. He touches me. And my spirit gets so uplifted. Isn't that happened to you at times? Because the enemy wants to keep us away. But Jesus, in his house, he wants to draw people and minister to them right there. And so this woman, she was there. That's such a powerful thing to hear. This woman, she had a health issue for 18 years. You know how easy it would have been to say, I'm not going. Because look at me. How embarrassing this would be, wouldn't it be? Imagine if this is something that you ended up with. You would want to just stay out of the public. You'd want to stay home. But this woman, Jesus sets the perfect example, but this woman also sets a good example of the importance of being in service, being present, to experience the grace of God and to hear the truth of God. So this woman, she was there. And a lot of times, people miss out on what God wants to do because they're not present. They're not there. Or a lot of times, people miss out on what God wants to do because physically we're present, but mentally and everything and every way else, every other way, we're absent. We're somewhere else. And so we miss out on what God wants to do. This is God's house, and God is at work. And it always amazes me as a pastor. This is a perspective that few people have, but as a pastor, it amazes me how it'll be the same service. I'll share the same message. It'll be the same worship. And some people will come and say, wow, God met me. Thank you so much, Pastor. God spoke to me. And someone else will be falling asleep. It just amazes me. It's the same service. Or somebody gets angry and gets offended by something. It just amazes me. But that just is more revealing on the condition of the heart of the individual. And this woman, it tells us that it was a spirit of infirmity. And we know because we've read that Jesus said she was bound by Satan. So this has more than just physical, natural reasons. This is connected to spiritual reasons and dark reasons as to why she was in the condition she was in. Doesn't tell us specifically, but what was it? We can only surmise, and oftentimes that's not great. But entertain me. Was it in her younger years she was dabbling in dark stuff? And then she ended up over time because she was dabbling in dark things, the occult things. We don't know. But she opened herself up. We don't know how it all happened, but she ended up bent. And then maybe at some point she started to seek God and had a change of heart. But now she was dealing with the consequences. We don't know. We don't know. But we do know that this was connected to darkness. Now, not all infirmities are connected to darkness. You remember, for example, Timothy. Paul said to Timothy, hey, drink a little bit of wine for your stomach's sake. All the frequent stomach issues you have. It doesn't say there was anything wrong spiritually there. Or Epaphroditus, who was a laborer for the Lord, he almost died in his service as a missionary, you could say. He almost died for the gospel. And Paul prayed that the Lord would heal him. And I mean, but eventually, the prayers, there was no instant healing, but the Lord was merciful to Epaphroditus. But it says it had nothing to do with demonic forces or influences. And then sometimes, surprisingly, God would allow the enemy to afflict somebody, afflict even a righteous person. Who comes to your mind? Job. Job did nothing wrong. The only thing that Job did, and this is not wrong, is he loved God. He loved God above his wealth. He loved God above his family. He loved God above himself. You know, because Satan says, hey, it's because you've blessed him abundantly with all this stuff. I bet if you take it away, he'll curse you to your face. In other words, saying, he only loves you because of what you do for him. He doesn't really care. Job doesn't really care about you. And really, in a sense, you could say one of the main lessons that we learn from the life of Job, even through severe affliction and demonic, the enemy putting these things on Job and so much suffering, a lesson that we learn is Satan, and I go like this, Satan, I'm not pointing to you. Satan, you're wrong. People love me for who I am, not because of what I do for them. People love me, and I love them. What a great lesson. Isn't it a great lesson? No matter what happens, though he slay me, I will still give you glory and live for you, God. What a great lesson. Paul, we learn a different lesson. Paul tells us that there was a messenger from Satan to buffet him. And he prayed three times, Lord, take this away from me. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And so Paul says, I'd rather rejoice in infirmities. Infirmities. And he realized that because of the amount of revelation he had, God was using this infirmity to keep him humble, because it's the nature of man to be prideful. You know, somebody says, hey, you did a good job. All of a sudden, I think I'm somebody. That's the nature, you know. You lead worship and somebody, oh, what a great job you did. I was brought into the pleasant presence of God. Oh, I'm better than sliced bread. I teach a Bible study and somebody comes up, hey, great job. Oh, wow, I'm somebody now. You know, we love that. Now, on the outside, we say, oh, no, 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 no. Praise God, I'm humble and I'm proud of it. You know, on the outside, but on the inside, that's what we're prone to. Anyway, all infirmity is not connected to the enemy, but this one was. And so God, through grace, he brought freedom. That's what the power of the kingdom does. It brings freedom. How many of you have been set free? Amen. Amen. And you could be going through hardships, but those hardships don't imprison you. How many times have you gone through a hardship as a believer and you're not bound by it? You're able to give God glory through it. You're not bound anymore, because the power of the kingdom is to set people free. And this woman was set free. And she was healed. He brought healing. Now we know that Jesus doesn't always heal. There was years where I needed my hip replaced. And believe me, I was crying out to God. God, please heal me. I was so afraid of having surgery. I had never had surgery before. Oh, God, please heal me. God, please heal me. God, please heal me. He says, you'll be healed after the surgery. That's the way God chose it for me. And praise God, I'm healed. Look at that, I'm healed. It's been 20 years. This is going in overtime now. I was given a 20-year lifespan on this thing, and it's doing great. So we know that God doesn't heal everyone, but we do know that everyone will be healed. As it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. who heals all your diseases. And one day this body of corruption is going to pop out of the ground. Or if the Lord says, come up hither, either way, but there's going to be a transformation that takes place. And this corruption is going to put on incorruption. That's the hope we have. So we all will be healed. Some God's gracious and heals now through doctors or even miraculously. There's nothing too difficult for God. But one day we all will experience that healing. And then the next thing is the revealing, the revealing. And look at what happens here. It says, he laid his hands, this is verse 13, on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Because that's what was in her heart. And the kingdom of God and the truth of God always reveals what's in the heart of people. You know, there's been times where I've shared the gospel with people, and, you know, just being nice and being very kind of on the neutral side. Oh, people are nice back. But then you start getting more, you know, pressing. Well, what about you? If you were to die today, where would you go? And you start pressing, then they start getting agitated. It's like, all right, I'm done being nice. I don't want to hear this. You know, you start, the kingdom reveals hearts. And there's times where the kingdom will reveal hearts. Here, we all come into the same service, and some people I'll talk to in the lobby. I don't know if it's just because I'm the pastor, so they just want to be nice to me, or if it's real. I want to believe it's all real. Say, oh, what a blessing today's service was. Man, I came in here bummed out and down, and I'm leaving so excited about Jesus. I'm just so blessed and thankful. And then somebody will come out of the service. Somebody else might say, oh, man. My life is terrible. Why? What's going on? They cut off my spectrum for the month. My internet's down. That's what you got out of today's service? Like, wow. Well, this woman, she started to glorify God. Because that's what was in her heart. The kingdom revealed it. And maybe in her years, you know, after whatever it was that triggered this, her being bent, and over some time, she thought to herself, I need God. And she started seeking the Lord. And she put herself in the service, and she was going faithfully, who knows how long. Let's just say it was a total time that she was bent like this, 18 years. Let's just say it took her about a year to start realizing, you know, I'm bent, I need to be made straight. And the only place I can find where I'm going to be made straight is in the house of God. And so she starts going year one, year two, year three, year four, year 10, year 15, year 16, year 17, and nothing. No healing. Nothing. You would have thought she'd get discouraged, but no. But no. She stayed faithful, and on that 18th year, how many years have you been coming to church here? Maybe this is your 18th year. Well, I don't believe in superstition, so I don't want to put stuff in your minds like that. But you never know. God is gracious. Who knows what he might do for you this year? But anyway, her 18th year of just seeking the Lord. And maybe she gave up on healing. Maybe she just, God, I love you for you. I don't need anything. I've accepted my actions, and I'm living with my consequences, and I'm totally content in you, God. And I'm just going to service. I want to be with God's people and hear God's word. And then Jesus ministered to her, and she started just rejoicing because God is so good. He does exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think. And she just rejoiced and glorified God. But, that word, but, it's like things are going to change now. Because not everybody saw this as a good thing. Same service. It tells us in verse 14, but the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He was upset. He was bothered by this. And he was bothered because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Now, we don't have a lot of time to get into all these things, but Jesus was breaking no law. This man, he had his own opinion. He developed his own view. And it was beyond the scriptures. And so he became, because of his own views, and his heart was not aligned with God, even though he was the ruler of the synagogue, this guy became a legalist. And he wants to keep order. He's losing control. And so he's all rigid and because of his own opinions that go beyond the scriptures, and he's frustrated and upset and bothered by Jesus healing on the Sabbath. I mean, I wish healings would happen here miraculously. I mean, I would be like, this is great. But this guy, he turns to the crowd, the people he's supposed to be caring for. And listen to what he says. There are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. Like if this was an everyday occurrence. Like, come back tomorrow and I'll heal you. That guy couldn't do what Jesus did. How ridiculous. That's what deception does. It makes you stupid. And so his heart's being revealed. Here's the man of God. He's supposed to be the man of God. The ruler of the synagogue. And this guy's heart's not right. And I think that, you know, to me, when the kingdom of God reveals a heart that's not right, this is a great opportunity to get right, to be made straight. And then the Lord, he answered him. He said, hypocrite. Hypocrite. Does not each one of you? Now, I believe what Jesus is addressing, or who he's addressing, is all of his adversaries. Remember we read earlier that all of his adversaries were put to shame? Because there were the common people there, Jesus' disciples were there, there was the ruler of the synagogue, and then other religious leaders that were there. Those would be his adversaries. And I believe Jesus is addressing his adversaries. I mean, everybody's hearing it, but this man and the adversaries, they were feeling it. He says, does not every one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? Aren't you working then? I mean, by your logic. And so he's saying, here, let's go from the lesser to the greater. You'll do something to care for your animals. You'll do, if you want to look at it that way, you'll do some work. So ought not this woman, who is the greater, a human life? The Sabbath is not to destroy life, but to bless life, to bring rest to life. In that time, we worship the Lord. Since the Lord rose from the grave, our service is on the first day of the week. And that's been the historical custom that has been patterned, that has been established since the resurrection of Jesus. The early church is gathered on the first day of the week, regularly, every single Sunday. They've been gathering on the Lord's Day. And so, He says, this woman is way more valuable than a donkey or an ox. She's a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound. Think of it. For 18 years. And so shouldn't this woman be loose from this bond on the Sabbath, on the day of rest? This is a good thing, not a bad thing. What's wrong with you? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced. See, the adversaries, they felt it, and then the multitude, they rejoiced. Here, the kingdom of God is exposing it and revealing hearts, and all the adversaries. That's how you know when you're on the wrong side of things. When God's doing a work and God's word is going out and God is being gracious, God is freeing people, God is healing and restoring, God is doing a great work, and you're angry. Why isn't that? Why am I not getting the attention? You're jealous. You got some bitterness in your heart. You're on the wrong side of things. You need an alignment. You need to be made straight. And the good thing is that the power of the kingdom has the ability to make you straight. Amen. Now, we move on from the power to the progress, and we'll wrap things up. So, this was a moment, if you would, in time, this service. But Jesus now lets them know, hey, I want you guys to understand that this is a moment, but this is going to turn into a massive movement. It's going to progress. The kingdom of God is not only powerful, but the kingdom of God is going to permeate everything and take over. So it's better to get aligned now while grace is being extended and enjoy the kingdom before it's too late. And you know, a lot of these last teachings are like, you better get ready, you better get ready, you better get an alignment. You need an alignment, and you know, Spur Chevrolet ain't going to be the one to do it for you. You need Jesus. And so, speaking of the kingdom, he said, verse 18, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall we compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put into the ground, and it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. You know, I know that there are different ways to look at this, and some folks, they look at the birds of the air as evil. But I believe contextually, Jesus is not using birds in an evil way. I think he's just saying that the kingdom, it seems small and insignificant, but it's going to turn into something massive. And there's even some scriptures in the Old Testament that birds don't represent evil, like it does in the parable of Matthew chapter 13, but represents nations. And we know in Revelations chapter 4 and 5, I can't remember exactly which one, I think it's chapter 5, but either way, it talks about how all the nations are represented. And then the kingdom, the millennial kingdom after the 7-year tribulation is going to be on the earth. And the kingdom age is going to permeate the whole world. The kingdom is going to be established. And as it says here in verse 20, and again he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till all was leaven. And the kingdom has permeated, if you would, the whole world. The kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom has gone through the entire world. It's gone global. Over and over and over and over. And this is the preaching of the kingdom, which has the power to bring freedom and deliverance. But one day, it's going to turn into where the King of the Kingdom returns with his bride and establishes the kingdom in all of its beauty, power, and brilliance. Amen. This is what we're all progressing to. And we can see what a momentum. When the church first started, wow, it started to explode. It went from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. And the kingdom, no matter what people may say, and no matter what the world may look like, the kingdom is coming. The King of the Kingdom is coming, and Christ is going to establish his kingdom here, and nothing is going to stop it. And in that kingdom, for all of us who are believers, man, what hope we have. We're going to be progressing right into this kingdom. It is a kingdom where truth will reign. It is a kingdom where the presence of Christ will be. It's a kingdom where we will experience grace upon grace. It's a kingdom where there will be just freedom and complete healing. And our hearts, it'll be exposed, will be revealed. And all we'll want to do is just glorify God. In the kingdom age, what a hope we have. And it's exciting for us. Now, maybe some of you here, a few of you here, you are still in that place where you feel out of alignment. You haven't trusted Christ. Your life, there's a void, an emptiness. You can't really pinpoint it, but deep down inside, you know, if straight is right and bent is wrong, something's wrong. But you want to be made straight. And that's what the power of the kingdom does. It makes people's lives straight. And so if you want to be made straight, Jesus says, come. Come. Yeah, but I'm all bent. I can make you straight. You just come. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. The Bible tells us that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, if you believe in him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to make us all straight. And you might feel insignificant. You might feel overlooked, but I'm telling you right now, Jesus came not just for all, he came for you. He loves you. And he wants to make your life straight. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace and your kindness. And Lord, we, from our hearts, we glorify you, God. And we thank you, God, that you have revealed yourself through your Son, Jesus. And God, I pray for all my brothers and sisters. I thank you for your word that brings us hope. And Lord, for those that might be here crying out to you from their hearts, they want their lives to be made straight. Your word tells us that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus, I pray that you would minister every heart. I thank you, Jesus, that you came, you died on the cross for our sins, you rose so that we could be made right with you through faith in what you did. And if we repent, if we change our minds about you, our hearts about you, and are committed to say, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, fill me with your Spirit, make me straight, and enable me to do what's pleasing in your sight. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, who cries out, you will in no way cast out. So I pray for them right now that you would minister to their hearts. And God, as we close this service, we glorify you. We thank you, God, that we're never alone, no matter what we go through. You're with us. You set us free. We can be going through fire, through hardships, but you're standing with us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.